Right, tonight we begin the Maamar Ravi of the Kuzari. And you'll see why I started from the Maamar Ashlishi. Maamar Ashlishi is called the Maamar HaMosar of the Kuzari because it's at least certainly the first half talked about more practical things. And the Kuzari and the whole talks about many things which are, let's call it not for everybody, which many people don't typically think about. The Maamar Ravi begins where the Maamar Shlishi left off. In the previous Maamar, the king asked the Chavar, he asked him for two points. One was to start teaching him the Torah itself. He taught him introduction to the Torah, but not Torah itself. And secondly, he asked him to teach him the meaning of the various names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As you know, there are many names of Hashem. We have a understanding that there are Sheva, Shema, Shein, and Milchakim. There are seven names of God, which are holy as they're written, as they're pronounced. And the seven are Kael, Alekei, Alekim, the three which begin with Aleph Lamed. And of course the Yud Kei Vav Kei. And Adnus. So the three which begin with Aleph Lamed, Yud Kei and Adnus. And then Shakai and Tzavakais. Hashem is Hashem. The Shulchan Aruch brings the Yeshayimrim that Ek Hasher Eke is also an eighth name of Hashem, or if they have to be seven, we would put a Lekein Lekim as one and add Ek Hasher Eke. But there are seven names of Hashem, She'enam Nimchakim. Now in addition to that, there are so-called Kinuyim or nicknames of Hashem, and those are words which have ordinary meanings like Rachum, Vechanun, Erechapayim, Rav Chesaviyemes, all the different names of Hashem, which are really names of attributes. So, the Chavar here is going to start to talk about the names of Hashem. Now, there's a fundamental idea. As far as I know, the earliest source is the Kuzari, is the Mer Nevuchim. Maybe there's an earlier source, I don't know. That the Shemes of Hashem, the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are not names as we think of names of people. A person has a name, it's an identification tag. But the Shemes of Hashem are names which are descriptions of Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Lashon of the Maamar Nevuchim is that Kol Shmois of Yisvarech and Nimtzoim Bisvarim, all the names of God that we find in different books, Kulam Nigzorim Min HaPu'ulais. They're all formed from attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zema Shein Helem Bay. Ela Shem Echad V'Yud Kei Vav Kei. And that's why the names are pronounced, except for the Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is not pronounced. Shushem HaMiyuchid Lai. L'zeh Nikra Shem HaMefayrash. That's why one of the seven names called the Shem HaMefayrash. In Yonei Shu Yair Al Atz Musa Yisbarach Hayram Avu Eres Ein Shutfus Bay. Ein Hashatfus Bay. That's in the Maamar Nevuchim in Maamar Risha in Perek Samach Aleph. That's what it says there. The Kabbalistic names are not. It's a separate discussion. Whatever they mean, they stand for things.
And
the Kohen Gadol, not only Yom Kippur, all the time, Beis Hamikdash, those kaidim who knew used a more explicit Kabbalistic name. I don't know how they did this, but the Gemara says they were mavliya. They didn't want everyone to hear it. So somehow they said it. They were kohenim, duchening. The kohenim, the ordinary folk, who pronounced the Kaddish Baruch Hu's name as it's spelled. Those, the Kohen Gadol and others who knew the shame, the hidden shamus of Hashem, they would say it in a way that the people couldn't catch it. And how that worked, I don't know. Duchening has to be Bekal Ram. That's a Gemara, I think, in Kedushin, in the fourth parak, that he would be Mavliyat. Rabbi Shua, I'm sorry. You want to say something? No? Okay. So, anyway, that's sort of the introduction to the idea of the names of Hashem. Now, of all of Kaddish Baruch Hu's names, there's one which is most confusing. And that's the name Elohim. Bereishis Bara Elohim. It's the first name of God to appear in Torah. And for numerous reasons, it's a very difficult. The use of it is very difficult to explain, and for that reason, there is a wide range of possible explanations among the primary Rishonim. The problem with the name Elohim that bothered the Jews of those generations is that's plural. I mentioned the other day it's a plural name. How do you give a plural name to a God that you believe is Echad Miyuchad Shein Yichidus Kamayu? Why should the name have a plural form? Now it could be it's not a plural form because it could be it just happens to end with a Yud Mem, but its use somehow seems to imply a plural form. That's not the only problem. One of the queerest things is that we call an Avodah Zarah Elohim. And that would seem to be very inappropriate. You know, if King George is the King of England, and, you know, he has someone who's starting a revolution, the people loyal to him wouldn't call the other fellow King George, right? You wouldn't use that name of Hashem for an Avodah Zarah. That makes it extremely difficult. The Torah uses it that way. Elohim Acherim. We call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elokei Elohim, the God of all the gods. Was he the God of all the gods? It's, you know, Lahavdil, if you have a lot of chefs in town, so you say he's the best chef of all the chefs. But when you talk about God, what does it mean? Elokei Elohim? It's, okay. That's the Rambam, right? The Rambam, man. Anyway, the name of it, we also use it for Bezdin. Bezdin is called that. Elohim Acherim, right? No Kedusha.
Does that mean, obviously, that there were all the gods, but meaning in a negative sense. It doesn't, it's not.
But it's hard to use it, if you're saying the word is a pejorative, how can you use God's name as a negative name? It's just, it seems to be very, very difficult.
That they had they believed in other gods.
They believed in other gods. But it's funny that Torah should give it that name. Lo yiel, this was partial. Lo yiel lecha elihim acherim alpanai. So if somebody has a wife, he tells them, listen, no more wives. I'm getting married to you and you can't take any more. All right, makes sense. But Bezdin is also, we said in today's Yom, Elohim Nitzav Ba'adas El. Right, so the El is used. But the Elohim itself, Bekerev Elohim Yishbait. The Baruch Hu judges among them in the Bezdin. So Bezdin is also referred to as the name, by that name.
Kim
is Midas Adin, of all God's names, is the most appropriate, and yet, it's queer. It's a strange use of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. I do recall that Rav Futner, one of his Mamorim, discusses it. If I can find a Maimer before the next time we learn, I will make an attempt to share it with you. But he begins by saying, Omer Achaver Elohim Tayar Lemoishel Bedover Min Hadvarim Uledayin. The name Elohim is a title for one who rules and for a judge. Ve'yeshia Bekol Keshuhu Reitzabai Moishel Vailam Kulai. Ve'yeshia Bechelik Keshuhu Reitzabai. Sometimes it means a ruler over everything. Sometimes it means a ruler over something specific. It's used both ways. Now here, those of you who have my print of the Kuzari, the old traditional print, in the Kol Yehuda, he brings the three shitas in the Rishayim as to the definition of the name Elohim. And he brings it right here in the beginning under Aleph. In the third line, he brings the Harav Ibn Ezra, that's an abbreviation. Vav Hei Resh Aleph Bei Zayin. Now here on page 4. He brings it. Kosav, now the Ibn Ezra is a little hard. He says the word Elohim is like Melech. It means ruler. That's the Ibn Ezra's explanation. I don't know, his explanation is a little hard for me to appreciate beyond that. I'd like to go to the second Taich is the Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim says Elohim Shem HaShoftim. Is a name for one who judges. It's a borrowed expression for angels and for God. So what he's saying is that really the original name Elohim doesn't mean God. It means Shaiftim, one who rules. It's borrowed for angels, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Le'Shofet HaMalachim, Omar hu elakei olehim ratzalaymer elakei hamalachim. Vadayne ha'adaynim ratzalaymer adayne ha'gulgolam v'ha'kechavim. So he teaches the word in the Torah, it says Hashem is elakei olehim, the God of the gods, says doesn't mean, the Rambam says doesn't mean the God over other avodah zarah. So avodah zarah is ridiculous. It means the God over his malachim, the ones who he sends to do his bidding, including the gulgulim and the kechavim, whatever it is that that lives in the world. Now, the most famous and accepted pshat is the Ramban. If you look in Rav Shlomo Shofar Hirsch and Rav Schwab, I imagine, I didn't check, they all go with the Ramban. He brings here in number three, V'Ramban de Ashlishis, and he says that Elokim is Baal HaKeiches Kulam. Right, that's what you were saying before. Baal HaKeiches Kulam, Hamilu Merkeves Keel Haim. Keel Samuk, and Yemez Lashok Chol Shahar HaKeiches. The Shem Keel, it means powerful. So he is the Baal Kol HaKeiches Kulam. What that means is Elokim say, is the name of God that gives the ability for everything to function. Right, the human being walks, the animal walks, the trees grow, the stars move. Baal hakeiches kulam. Now the marshal, this fits best with the Kuzari, and the marshal would be this. You're in this room. You see their lights? The lights are burning. And so something's powering the lights. And you see the air conditioner is on. And then you see that the microphone is working. So you figure, wow, the shul must have, many machines, one machine to power the lights, and one machine to power the microphone, and one machine, to power each of the electronic, the coffee maker, etc. So we understand that we have electricity, we have one source of electricity, it comes from Con Ed, and it powers all of the electrical things. They all plug into this one thing. Okay, you could have a gas heater also, but in this marshal, we're talking about the electricity. So the way the Kuzari explains it, it's going most close with the Ramban's pshat. He said, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Baal HaKeiches Kulam. If you look around the world, you see different people doing different things. And there's energy to the people of one sort, and then the sky, the heavens move, the celestial bodies appear to be moving, or the earth is moving. You look at the ocean, the waves are moving. So you say, wow, there are many power sources, one for each. So we say Elokim is Baal HaKeiches Kulam. There's one power source for everything, and they all plug into the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the Ramban's definition of Elokim. Bereishis Bara Elokim. In the beginning, Elokim created. Elokim is the Baal HaKeiches Kulam. He created all of the Keiches. They all go back to one source. Okay, that's the definition of the Ramban, and that's the definition which is, like I said, the most closely fits the Kuzari. Let's learn the Kuzari. We'll learn the Elokim of the Kuzari, and then we'll get on to Adnos tomorrow. So I'm going to begin again. Omer Achaver, Elokim Toar. Elokim is a title. L'moishel b'davim min advarim, l'dayin. To one who rules over anything, and to one who judges. V'yeshia b'kol g'shul reitzavai, moishel b'aylam kulai. Sometimes the word Elokim is used for one who rules over all. Sometimes it's used b'chelek, because who writes by kayach mekaychais haGilgal. One of the kaychais, like the powers of the Gilgal. The Gilgal is the rotation of the heavenly bodies. Oiteva min atavoyim, or the one that gives nature the ability to do all the wonderful things that we consider natural in the world. Every bit of nature is as much a miracle. It's just that it's predictable, so we call it nature. It's miraculous as well. Or a judge. A judge is also a Baal HaKeiches Kulam. When he sits in court, he's the one that rules. In his courtroom, he is he's the one. V'nivna Hashem Azeh b'loshen kibbutz. And that loshen comes in plural, a plural form. V'avur ma shahayinayig bein ha'umais. The nations of the world would create a form for each thing, for the fire god and the water god and the whatever god they wanted. And they would understand that the rotation of the heavenly bodies powers them. Kolachamiem etzlam elokan. Each one is an independent god. Hayukayrim kololam elohim. They were called this collection of tzlamim, of forms, the name elohim. Yishboim behem. They would swear by it. Uchiluheim meishlam behem. As if these forms rule them. Veimisrabim beribei akaychas habanhigin esagof. Now here in the Kol Yehuda, he brings an interesting idea. I think he's quoting this as well from the Moreh Nevuchim. I don't know, from the Rambam in the Pirshei Mishnayos, Avodah Zarah. There's a parak called Kol Hatzlamim. Kol Hatzlamim, all of the forms. Now, we always grow up, you know, you have the statue and that statue and a third statue. But the way he explained, the Rambam explains Kol Hatzlamim is the following, that everything, I want to just tell you, Hagdama, which maybe we'll get to. There are two forms of Avodah Zarah in Torah. There are many Avodah Zarahs. There are two types. One is related to the heavenly bodies, and one is related to man-made objects, which become an Avodah Zarah, or an animal that's treated as an Avodah Zarah. There are two very different forms of Avodah Zarah. Contemporarily, we refer to Avodah Zarah as Akum. Avodah Kechavim Umazolos, which are the stars and the constellations. Because the other type of Avodah Zarah is gone. The other type of Avodah Zarah has disappeared. And we're left with a world that, in one degree or another, still looks heavenward for the energy sources, so to speak, of today. The source of denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is atheism. And the source for the whole world's pursuit of proof that there's no God is the heavens. It's the heavens. The whole attempt to prove from the heavens that there was a cosmic beginning, an independent cosmic beginning, or that the world, those who hold the world is forever, or the world's had a beginning, it all has to do with the study of the heavenly bodies. And the Apsukim in the Torah that indicate that that form of Avodah Zarah is the eternal form of Avodah Zarah. Now, be that as it may, we'll talk about that when he talks about Avodah Zarah. The Rambam says that the constellations, which have forms, we have names for the different constellations, the 12 of the zodiac, are well known. Now, I don't know if you ever looked at the sky. It doesn't look like twins. You know, Gemini, did you ever look for Gemini in the sky? You ever look for twins?
It's good imagination.
It's an imagination of some sort that gives, you know, the Big Dipper, I could see it, you know, the Big Dipper, you could see a little bit. But the Big Dipper looks like, and it stays in one spot, and it turns in a circle. But what?
The chariot.
What looks like it?
The chariot.
The chariot. The chariot looks like a chariot. With those people standing in it or without? Double bearded people. I don't know. Okay. So what he says is this. He says that man gave tzlamim, that's what the Kuzari says, there were tzlamim that were given power. Different constellations were given, man imagined they had power over certain things. He says that the picture, the image on the constellation is the tzelem of the Avodah Zarah. According to the way he quotes and he explains the Rambam, that itself is an Avodah Zarah idea. It's a little hard to understand because, as you know, the Rishayim, Rashi explains Gemara is using those names. Tele, Maznayim, right? We say Maznayim is El, the preparation for Tele's Karban Pesach. So it seems there is something to those forms. Whatever that is, those are the Tzlamim, the idea of the constellations that was seen as controlling the world. He says, V'heim Misrabim B'ribei HaKoichas HaMenhigin HaSagof, HaKoichas HaMenhigin HaSa'ilam. And these forms were given in the imagination of man, the power to control individuals and the whole world. When we say kaychais, the power, it's the movement of the heavens, which gave man the imagination that the heavens had power. It's one thing to say a mountain has power. The mountain is still. It doesn't move. It doesn't show any form of being alive. When you look at the heavens, it gives you an image of life, because there's a apparent movement of the heavens. Kayachatanua Hacheres. Each movement seems to be independent of other movements. Ki Gilgal Hashemesh or Gilgal Hayarech, Einam Ratzim B'Kayach Echad, the sun and moon don't seem to run in the same paths. You'll tell me the earth turns, so why are the sun and moon have different paths in the sky? The answer is because each one has its own rotation. Each has independent kayach, and they didn't understand that this is all plugged in to one kayach harishin, that all of it comes from one power source, and that's God. In bavur shalai hayduba, either they didn't admit to his existence. And they refer to this gathering of different energies, which they saw as different energies, to be called God. And they saw the soul as an independent power source that makes the body run. So either they denied God and saw these as independent sources, or they admitted to God, it was distant in their eyes that serving God would do anything purposeful. He's too hidden for us to know him. And this is, we're familiar with this idea that God is too great to care about what man does. Therefore, they didn't serve one God. And from there comes the plural. So where does the plural come from? It comes from the idea that it seems that there are many different power sources, many different power sources, and they attributed each one to its own. And we say there's one God is the one source of all the power. And many, many types of kaychais in the world. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all of them. V'hadayekes, v'hamayli yaseira, eino ki'im, b'shem ha'nichbad yud kevavke, that we're going to come to tomorrow, not tomorrow, Thursday, how that plays into the yud kevavke. So we are, for now, at least finished discussing the shem alakim, except to the degree that it'll come back to it.